grandpa. Now, if you can be a grandpa or you can be a papa, papas are more important than grandpas. But let me just tell you what a papa does. Papa sits there and watches the kids. And he sees one of the kids going to get in trouble. He just knows it's going to happen. And papa just, as much as he can and much as he will, he can't get that kid to stop. He can't get him to stop. And then he kind of nudges him and says, "Hey, man, don't do that. Your daddy's going to whoop you, boy." And he just look at you. He just look at you and grin. And you know the judgment is coming. You just know that it's going to happen. And you ask him, "Why do you want to do that?" And they look at you like, "You're from Mars or something." And all of a sudden, here it comes. Now, how many are grandpas or papas here today? How many know what it feels like when you see that kid's going to get whooped? Huh? It kills me, man. You know, it just, you know, unfortunately, when you read the Bible, that's the same thing. When you read 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, and you read, actually, you read the whole chapter, you say, "You know what? You guys better stop that. God is getting angry. He's getting very upset." And they just keep at it. Keep at it. Look at what the Bible says. If you got a Bible there, look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there," what's the next two words? "Shall be false teachers among you." There are so many things that are going on in this world. It's incredible for me. I've lived a couple years, and I see things that are happening. I just kind of like, you got to be kidding me. We're living in a world full of false religion. We're living in a world of false prophets and false teachers. We're living in an age of world leaders, of politicians with all their spins and their lies. It's a treacherous world we live in. Lying and cheating and murdering and immorality and drugs and drunkenness is the norm. Our planet is so volatile, we have no idea what's next going to come. We constantly see the flash on the bottom of our TV screen that says news alert or warning. We're so accustomed that we don't even pay attention to it anymore. We don't even read it anymore, right? Yeah, okay, whatever. As long as we didn't get bombed here in Great Falls, Montana, we're cool. Just as long as we didn't have some idiot come in and blow up a bunch of people, we're still pretty cool. That's the way we really live. We've been so indoctrinated by the wildest things that men are doing. Man is coming up with the craziest dreams. I don't attend the movie house. I don't go to the movie house, but I see on my TV every once in a while they run a thing across and weird things and bizarre things and strange things. And police had called at home the other day, and they said, "No, no, we're okay. We're watching something about the dead." I don't know what it was. But the police actually were called there because the neighbors thought that people were dying over there. Bizarre things. Unearthly things. Unhuman things. Unhealthy things. Unnatural things. Some are just plain weird. When you were growing up, for some of you folks that are 50 and older, you have no idea what's going on in this world today. Listen to the Holy Spirit as he tells John to write about the devil in Revelation 12:9. "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceiveth the whole world." Listen, deceiveth the whole world. "He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." The Apostle Paul told Timothy, his young preacher boy, over 2,000 years ago. This is what he said. Man, this is today. 2 Timothy 2:4-3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, that they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. Therefore, what is happening today shouldn't surprise us, should it? We who have trusted Christ as a personal Savior, we have what we call born again. We were born above. We're called Christians today. This should not surprise us because we have read this in our Bible constantly. We see the things that are happening in this world. Why should this surprise us? Why should we be surprised with terrorism? Why should we be surprised with all the insurrection? Why should we be surprised with all that? Why should we be surprised that people today that are going against the principles of the Word of God? When we notice these things mounting up, and my Christian friend, we should rejoice and realize that Jesus is coming again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10b says, "Wait for the Lord from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." And what is the blessing is that when Jesus does come back, we're delivered from that wrath. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, "And the Lord direct your heart into the love of God and into the patience waiting for Christ." Hebrews 10:25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." There's no greater time, more important time to be in church, the Bible says, as you see those days approaching. Verse 37, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry." 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." That's our responsibility. Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, "He which testifieth these things, saying, Surely I come quickly." And John said, "Amen, even so, Lord, come, Lord Jesus." I don't know about you, but I'm ready for heaven. I am. I'm just as tickled pink to know someday I'm going to be absent from this old body and present with the Lord. James chapter 5, verse 8, "Be ye patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." God didn't put these things in the Bible just for us to read. He put them in there to heed, to understand. When we hear world leaders standing in front of news cameras and telling bald-faced lies, spinning the same untruth over and over again, and blinding mankind with the truth, you know, one man said, if you tell it long enough, it becomes true, you know. Doesn't it amaze you that common folks just stand there and believe these lies, but they question the truth? They believe the lie, they believe all this junk, but when somebody tells them the truth, they say, "I don't know about that." Well, Moses warned his people in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 6, "Take heed to yourselves and to your heart. Be not deceived. And ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them." Jesus warned the world. He said in Luke chapter 21, verse 8, "Take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth nigh, go ye not therefore after them." Jesus said there is going to be some. Now, let me give you a little brief history this morning. I think it will give you some peace of mind during these trying times of this old earth that we're living in. I don't know about you, but I look at myself and I'm thinking, I'm 69 years old, and God promises 70, right? And at strength, maybe 80. But I don't know how much time I have left on this earth. I've seen a lot of things. I was sitting last night, and I was thinking about some of the things that happened to me in my life. I was thinking about the time when I was a little guy, you know, and then I was thinking about getting in high school and learning about that crazy game called football, which became the most paramount thing of my whole life, you know. I thought that was going to get me through all life, you know. And then I got to college, and of course I got a break at college, and the first string fullback on the varsity, he hurt himself at the homecoming, And, man, I'll tell you what, Coach said, okay, Sear, get in there. And I got in there and made a couple of touchdowns, over 100 yards. And boy, I'll tell you what, I was. And they said, okay, you're the new fullback. And they told me, and some of you guys know about college football, they told me, he says, you play for college football, you'll never be a starter in your freshman year. You can't do it. Well, I got to do it for the last five games. It was, you know, I thought life was the greatest thing in the world. Football. Isn't that stupid? But that's what I was thinking. This old lock-a-base of mine, this old brain of mine said, yeah, man, I got the world by the tail. Yeah, man. I got the world by the tail. The world had me by the tail, amen. And I was thinking about my life, and I think, you know, and then my first pastorate I took in, and boy, what a great time I had there in Minnesota. And then I went to South Dakota. Boy, I had some rugged 7 years there. I mean, I paid the price. I'll tell you, it was an amazing church. And then I came to Great Falls, Montana, almost 34 years ago. Just blows my mind. And I'm still, deep down inside of me, I'm still this 21-year-old. Until I try to get out of bed in the morning. I was out shooting with my grandsons the other day, and I was very happy that they were picking up my holes and my shells for me. Because when I don't bend down like this anymore. I've been like this. Boy, there's a difference, isn't it? But I still got it up here. And it still does not transfer down here. I want to make a statement here that I think will help you a little bit. I'm not positive when God created the angels. I don't think there's a place in the Bible that says it. If there is, would you please, Jim Donahue's not here, he would tell me. But I don't think there's a place that God tells us where the angels were created. Most people don't believe what I've read, that most people don't believe that the angels were created before the world was created. They believe there's a time during the time that. Some people believe that they were created between the time of when God said in the beginning, God created the heavens, the earth, and the earth without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, and God made light. They believe between that and the second day. We're not sure. It really doesn't make any difference. But an angel was created. And unfortunately, there's one angel who was called the angel of light who wanted more than he should have had been appropriate to him. And because of his desire of pride to be something big, instead of serving the great God of heaven, he and a third of all those angels were cast down. But one thing I know, and I'm for sure, the devil in his lust wanted to be like God, and he desired to be an unholy leader and took one third of the host of heaven and rebelled against the holy God of heaven. God did not allow this to continue. Listen now. God spared not the angels, the Bible says in verse 4 of 2 Peter chapter 2. Here's one of God's law. Listen to me. Listen very carefully. Don't miss this, okay? If you miss everything else, okay, but don't miss this one. God will not put up with insubordination. He will not put up with it. He will not accept rebellion. Psalm 103, verse 9, the Bible says, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. There are people today who think that this world is just a place that came out of a big bang, and then out of that big bang, somehow, someplace out of the stone and mud came a little amoeba. And all of a sudden it formed and it just kept breaking off, and it all of a sudden became me. Well, there's a difference between me and the monkey. We've never been able to find that missing link. They tried hard. I remember when I was in high school that just about destroyed my faith when my science teacher told me, the biology teacher told me about the Neanderthal man. Well, the stupid thing about the Neanderthal man, all they did was found a tooth. They didn't find anything else. And they built this animal, half man, half animal, around a tooth. It blew my mind. I'll tell you what, that was hard. Thank God I had a good preacher. Thank God I had a godly pastor who said, "Now listen, this is what the Bible said. God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he made man. He breathed in him the breath of life." And he said, "I'll tell you, young man," he says, "I don't care how smart that teacher is. He just proved how stupid he is. Try to explain something. You got to have more faith to believe in evolution than you faith in God." God, so in the position that I want to give you this morning is that if God will not spare his angels that he made, but he will bring them into judgment, Satan and his ungodly hosts were cast out of heaven, and they were stripped of the blessings of abiding with God. So if God will not put up with that insubordination, God will not put up with that injustice, he'll certainly not put up with us. And damn them forever, the Bible says in Jude 6, verse 6, it says, "And the angels which kept not the first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of that great day." And of course, you know the judgment of that great day, that's hell forever. Secondly, the Bible says in 2 Peter, God did not spare Adam and Eve when they sinned. God created for mankind a perfect place to live. Unfortunately, man was not unwilling, was unwilling to enjoy the fruit that God had given him and that God had intended him to eat. When God told man and placed him in the garden with his, and he said, in essence, "Look at all these trees you have to eat, and you won't have to need for anything else. I only want one tree of the Garden of Eden, and that is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that tree is mine. You leave it alone. You have the whole forest. It's all yours. The whole garden is yours. But that one tree, that's mine. Leave it alone." But because of lust of the flesh and lust of the eye and pride of life, rebellion stepped in. Adam and Eve ended up eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 5, verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." That's in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-will, and they are not afraid to speak of evil of dignitaries." 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, "For all that the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not the Father, but of this world." And as God promised, he drove mankind out of the beautiful Garden of Eden, and they lost everything they had. They lost their home, they lost their sinlessness, they lost their fellowship with the Holy God, they lost the sweetness and childbearing, they lost pleasure for work, and work became the sweat of his brow with the weeds and the thistles. And finally, they lost their lives, and they went back to ashes and dust to dust, because God told them, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. And the Bible said, "And death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned." Every one of you are going to die today. Someday you're going to die. You say, "Not me! Not me!" Remember Yule Gibbons? Yule Gibbons ate all them fresh fruits, and he ate everything that was natural. Somebody said he died at 55, choked on a pine cone. But anyway, hey, we're going to die. I don't like the thought of death. Death, Paul said, listen to me, death is the greatest enemy to mankind. All of you have some way, somehow laid someone to rest. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a teenager, young adult. Maybe it's a mom or dad, grandma, grandpa. Maybe it's someone very old. But you know what? We don't get out of this earth alive. And the reason we don't get out of this earth alive is because of what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. They took, and God said, don't take. They ate, and God said, don't eat. And God said, because of that, there will be pain at childbirth. There will be work. You'll have to sweat with your brow to work hard. There will be thistles, and there will be weeds, and there will be death. Now, can you imagine God creating these magnificent angels? But they went against, a third of them went against what God told them to do. God says, okay, this is what it is. By the way, God never intended man to be in the dark concerning his spiritual condition. God tells man, you're going to die. No question about it. We're going to die. I've never seen too many mortuaries go out of business. I've never seen cemeteries close down. Back in my hometown, there's two cemeteries. One is Old Hope Cemetery, and there's the New Hope Cemetery. They closed the Old Hope Cemetery down because there's no more room to put bodies in. Then they started the New Hope Cemetery. They just bought some more land. You know why? People are dying all the time. And you're going to die. And what are you going to do when you die? God said this. God said to the angels, obey me. And they were insubordinate to him. He says, fine. I'll take care of that. God told mankind, don't eat the tree of knowledge, good and evil. You eat of that, you're going to die. Man died. Man's died for 1,000 years. So when God said, is the point on a man wants to die, and then the judgment, do you believe that? Hey, you know, I may be boring to you today, but I'm trying to help you something. You're going to be the happiest person in the world if you finally take off the blinders that, hey, you know what, that preacher is telling me the truth. I am going to die. I went to so-and-so's funeral the other day. I went to that funeral a while back. A couple years ago, I went to that funeral. You know, they never came back. And neither will you. It is appointed on a man once to die and then judgment. So what do I do about it? Well, number one, I can realize that I'm a sinner. That's not too tough. Hey, you run around with me for 10 minutes, you find out I'm a sinner. And I bet you I can find out you're a sinner. You ever tell a lie? Who said yes? Who said no? You're a liar. You're going to hell. You ever lie? You ever cheat? Yeah, tax season's coming up. Well, I gave so much to the church, you liar. But anyway, and you ever sass your mama? I only did that a couple of times. I found out that wasn't a good idea. Did you do everything your daddy told you to do? Do you love your wife? Do you love your wife as much as you love Christ, as much as Christ loves you? It's pretty easy to find out whether you're a sinner or not. The Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And then the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. You go to work, they pay you for what you work. They may not pay you how much you're worth, but they do pay you. That's your wage. That's what you get for what you did. And God said, your wage is death. Eternal, everlasting death in hell, burning forever and ever. Yeah, I don't believe that junk. Hey, you know what? God made you a free will creature. In other words, you have a choice. God says, you either serve me, you don't serve me. You serve me, you have consequences. You serve me,
you have consequences. You serve me, I'll take care of you. I promise you. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How do we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Did you get those? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So, your consequence of accepting Christ as your personal Savior is a home in heaven forever. Rest and peace and joy and no more troubles. Or, you can do nothing. You can go to hell. You don't have to do anything to go to hell. Just go there. But you just suffer the consequences. This is amazing. I was reading over in Luke chapter, 19, where it talks about when Lazarus died and the rich man died, and the rich man went to hell. And the Bible says the rich man looked up to Abraham and said, Abraham, send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and touch my tongue, for I'm in torment. He was just there. He's already in torment. Why in the world would a man want to go to hell when he accepts Jesus Christ and go to heaven? He said, but preacher, you just don't understand. You're right, I don't understand. I don't understand why a man would choose Satan and all the atrocities that he has brought on to us and all the troubles. I think of a man, I was thinking this a while back, I think of a man, this rich man, he had everything in his life. He had the beautiful home. He had all the food he wanted. He had the servants do all the jobs that he didn't want to do. He had a perfect life. And he died and he went to heaven. At least he had 40, 50, 60 years, maybe, of pretty good life. I think about the drunkard. I think about the man who is shooting up cocaine and doing all kinds of drugs, and he's miserable, and he's infested by all kinds of disease and all kinds of troubles, and it seems like everything that happened to him in his life, there's trouble. You've seen him. You could probably name some guys. Hey, you know so-and-so? He's always in trouble with the law. You know so-and-so? Yeah, he's always drunk. He's always running into things. He's always in trouble. He's always heartaches, always sorrow. All the problem, he's been married 5-6 times and it's never worked, and the kids hate him and all. You know, pretty lousy life, right? You know what's that thing about it? He goes to hell too. But here's a beautiful illustration God gives a man named Lazarus. He has leprosy, or he has terrible disease, and he is sitting at the door, you might say the doorway of this rich man, and hoping that they'll sweep out dirt, and as they sweep out the dirt, maybe a few pieces of particles of food will come out and he'll get to eat that. He has a terrible life. But the Bible says the angels carried him to heaven. Give him escort to heaven. And from that moment on, peace, serenity, everything is his. You say, but how simple is that? How simple can it be? Jesus said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Number one, you realize you're a sinner? How many believe they're a sinner? Raise your hand. Wow, thank you. Yeah. Hey, by the way, if I could lift the other leg, I'd raise it too as a sinner. Okay? Hey, I stumble, I fall, So that's the first thing, know you're a sinner. Number two, realize you owe a terrible price, that's death and hell. And that you realize that there's a Jesus Christ who came to this earth and died on the cross to shed his blood to pay for your sins. You can't pay it yourself. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. You can't pay for it. You can't do anything for it. The Bible says, not a word says any man should boast. It's a gift of God. And you must receive it. And you say, I accept that as a personal Savior. This may be the only time you'll ever hear this, so listen good. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, you can put your name in there, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
simple fact. God says, I love you. You say, but preacher, my life, there's not too many people that love me. There's not too many people who really care about me. Oh, you came to the right Jesus. He says, I love you. I give my life to you. I'll do anything for you. They say if there was only one sinner on this earth, Jesus would have died for you. You may be the only one today that you think that, you know, God wouldn't have me. My friend, God loves you. And He gave His only begotten Son for you. All you have to do is receive Him as your perfect Savior. You say it's too simple. It is. But God made it simple for the little ones. Those that cannot, quote unquote, figure it out. He said, for whosoever shall call. I wonder today, isn't it about time you quit messing around with God? Quit fooling with Him? The angels He spared not. He spared not Adam and Eve. He spared not the world that was going in every which way except towards God in the days of Noah. In fact, Peter called it the old world. He saved Noah because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And He'll save you today if you only ask Him in your heart. Simple, easy. Just say to God, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Now, we all raised our hand. We all know about that, right? Lord, I am a sinner. You've already confessed that. And I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And You raised on the third day. I ask You to come and be my Savior right here, right now, right at this spot. People are amazed how quick that is. The Bible talks about Saul, who turned to be Paul. He was on his road to Damascus, and he saw the light of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said he right there fell down, and he said, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? He believed. He understood immediately. That's when he got saved. Father, I pray You'd help us today. Lord, I know that You're not slack concerning Your promises. You said, with those angels, you're done. You're gone. Into hell you're going. And hell they went. Adam and Eve, you're out of the garden. I told you not to. You're out of the garden. Dear God, what would be a God who would not keep His word? And Lord God, You've told us. It's appointed on a man wants to die. There's a judgment. What am I going to say at the judgment? Am I going to say, dear God, I didn't think You really meant it. Or, dear God, I thought I had more time. But Lord, You'll say, I told you that you needed to take care of this. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not in a few years, but right now, right here. Lord, I pray if these folks have heard this gospel message today, that they receive You as their Savior. Lord, that they would not turn their back on You. Lord, for You are a fierce God. You're a loving God, but you're a judge. And Your judgments are true. Speak to our hearts now, Lord God. Holy Spirit.